And Moses struck the rock, and water came from the rock. Now, you need to listen carefully as I read this, but let me explain to you where we're going to be going tonight. Meribah, if you look at what happened there, is a disastrous place. It's disastrous for several reasons. It is a place where the people chided with God. They were unhappy with what God was doing, and they took it out on Moses and Aaron. And then to make matters worse, Moses and Aaron in this place, I'm sure because of their frustration with the people, but there's no justifying it, Moses and Aaron did something that God didn't say to do. They were disobedient to God, and it cost both of them. You'll see that. It's also a place, it just starts out kind of rough, it's a place where Miriam died. And the frustration was the people didn't have what they wanted. In fact, they didn't have really what they needed in one sense, and that is they were looking for water for themselves and for their animals, and there was none. And just a couple of thoughts, and that is, whatever place it is that we're in our life, whether things are wonderful or whether things are terrible, there's two or three things that you know. One of them is God brought you here. Amen? Amen? Yeah, wherever our church is, God brought us here. Wherever, whatever place we are in our life, God brought us here. Amen. And God knows how to deal with us. Amen? He knows how to take care of us. Secondly, and in their case especially, the reason they're out in the dry spot is because they didn't trust God. If they had believed God, they could be taking the promised land right now instead of wandering around in the wilderness. So I know it's no comfort to us. I mean, you know, when I tell somebody, well, it's your fault, that's not very comforting, is it? You know, but sometimes it's true. Sometimes we put ourselves in that position. Aren't you glad even when you put yourself in a bad position, God knows how to take care of you?
Amen.
And it's kind of like in our house in Maryland, in the backyard, we had a tree, and it was a kid catcher. You've seen these trees. You've probably seen one somewhere. It's got a fork in it that's just the right angle. And children trying to climb that tree, and they'd get up in that tree, and then they'd slide down into that fork, and they were stuck. And we'd have children come to our house to visit us, and we'd look back there at that tree, and there's a child stuck in that tree. Help! Get me out! Get me out! And we wouldn't leave them in the tree. Amen? We'd get them out. You know, you're tempted, but no, you can't do that. And you think, well, they got themselves in that mess. Let them get themselves out. They can't. Folks, when we get ourselves in a mess and we can't get ourselves out, God loves us.
Amen.
And God can get us out. Amen? You're going to see some of that here. But it's a sad place. It's a place, and then I'm trying to make this as clear as I can. It's a place where we may find ourselves. But if we find ourselves in a place like this, make sure you don't make the mistakes that these people made. And there's two or three mistakes that are rather obvious, and I'll mention them several times. One of the mistakes they made was complaining when they should have been asking. Another mistake they made was not listening carefully enough to what God said. And then another mistake they made was acting, and this may be the worst one of all, it's what got Moses and Aaron in trouble, acting out in anger instead of responding by going by what God said. In other words, they got mad and did something they shouldn't have done. It's never a good idea. We call this a knee-jerk reaction. I used to skydive when I was in my 20s, and they told us over and over and over and over and over, if you have an emergency, you've got maybe 30 seconds to deal with it. Act. Don't react. Don't panic. Don't move too quickly. Think about what you're going to do. You just got one chance to fix it, and then you're going to hit the ground hard. And I jumped out of an airplane one time, and something didn't go quite right. And without explaining the details, it'd take too long, but there was a piece of equipment of mine that was about that far away from letting go one side of the parachute. When that's not a good thing when one side of the parachute gets let go. And I looked up at that, and I thought, wow, I'm glad that didn't go one more inch. And then about all the way to the ground, I was pushing it back where it was supposed to be. But you don't panic, amen? You trust the Lord.
Amen.
There's no panic button in heaven. You don't get angry and do something you shouldn't have done. Someone says, I'm done with this, and they throw a fit and they quit. Folks, that will get you in trouble.
Amen.
So listen carefully. First of all, trust God. Listen carefully to what God says and do it His way. And then don't get emotional. All those mistakes are going to be seen in this passage. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Numbers chapter 20. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 13, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died with when our brethren died before the Lord. And they're talking about that rebellion a couple of chapters back. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, as we look into this passage in Numbers, I thank you for the word of God that you've given us and the example we have tonight. I thank you for this assembly, and I pray now that you would guide my thoughts and my words and help each of us to see what you have for us here. It's a precious, it's an exciting story. It's a lesson that we can learn. It's a mistake that we can see and avoid. It's an understanding that we can have that there are times in our life we're going to come to a place. It might be a place that's dry. It might be a place where there's a sadness, like as in the death of Miriam, and a place where people are not treating us as they should, as in the case of the people versus Moses and Aaron. But Lord, none of those factors are an excuse not to trust you, or they're not an excuse not to obey you. They're not an excuse to do something desperate or out of the ordinary. Lord, we may come to that place to where it's so easy to make those mistakes, and I pray you'd help us to remember this place long after this night is gone, that we would think about that place called Meribah and what it cost Moses and what it cost Aaron and what it cost Israel, and then the picture of Christ that it shows us. I do pray you'd bless us now in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Meribah was first mentioned in Exodus chapter 17. By the way, there are several places in the Sinai Peninsula that are called Kadesh, and so you're not quite sure where things are sometimes. I don't worry about that too much. Different people will pretend to have a good map. Some maps are right, some maps are not. All I know is the Sinai Peninsula is a hot, dry place, and that's where they were. And in this passage, in Exodus 17, this place is called Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now, we're in Numbers, so we're after that first story. But I just want you to know something. If you are saved, Jesus Christ promised he'd never leave you or forsake you.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
You say, "Pastor, what about the mistakes I've made?" Let me say it again. If you're saved, the Lord promised he would never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
When you say, "Pastor, I don't think I'm in God's will." Let me remind you again, if you're saved, Jesus said he'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen? Now, back in Exodus 17, they asked that question, "Is the Lord with us or not?" And it's called tempting the Lord. It's exactly the same passage that Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4 when he said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," as they did at Massah. And the tempting is to say, "Is the Lord with us or not?" And Satan was questioning the deity of Christ. If thou be the Son of God, that's the question of the ages. Who's Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God.
Amen.
Satan challenged that. Islam challenged that. No, he's the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, and he said, "You do not tempt God." I want you to know something. God's with us. Amen?
Amen.
And we know that he's with us because he promised to be with us. The Bible gives us that promise. Here at this place, back in Exodus 17, they asked that question, and that's where the trouble began. But now we're in Numbers, and we have the place, and the name mentioned here is the name Meribah. It's in verse 13. The word Meribah comes from a Hebrew word which means strife or contention. Mistake number one, don't contend with God. You won't win. You say, "Well, how could I contend with God? God says you do it one way, and you say, 'Nope, I'm going to do it another way.' Or God says do this, and you say, 'Nope, I'm going to do that.' Or God says don't do this, and you say, 'Nope, I'm going to do that anyway.'" Or I could name 100 other things that we do, but the fact is, sometimes we say, "I'm guilty of it. I hope you're not, but maybe you are. I have done this, sadly. I've said I don't like the way God's doing things in my life." Well, guess what? God knows more than I do. Amen?
Amen?
Don't contend with God. That's what this name, it means to, you see the example. They're chiding with him. "Why have you brought us out here? This is not a good place." Just one more time. You could have been in the promised land if you'd have believed him.
Amen.
One of the reasons you're here is because of you. That's not comforting, but it's the truth. But here's the good news. God's there with you. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Now, I keep using this thought. Meribah is a place, but it's not the place where Israel stayed. They went through that place, and in the end, they went to the promised land, didn't they? We go through some places in our life, but folks, you're not going to be stuck there.
Amen.
The devil's going to tell you, "You see how bad things are? It'll be that way forever." You ever heard that lie from him before? You know, things are going really bad. They're not going to get any better. Well, I have found out things get better. Well, they get worse sometimes too, but it doesn't matter. The Lord leads us. So Meribah is a place. It's a place of strife, arguing, contending, disagreeing, not liking what God's doing and fussing about it. It's interesting. It comes from the fact that Israel was striving or chiding with the Lord. This is mentioned 7 times in the Bible. Let me just read you a couple of these for the sake of interest. Exodus 17, "Is the Lord among us or not?" At Numbers 20, "Israel strove with the Lord." Numbers 20, "Aaron rebelled against my word." Numbers 27, "Moses rebelled." Deuteronomy 33, "Moses trespassed." 33:8 also, I didn't write that passage down. And then Psalm 81:7, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. There's an important clue there. You say, Pastor, why did God bring me to a dry place in my life? To see if you trusted him. If we always had everything we think we need, and the fact is we think we need more than we really do need, if we always had everything that we think we want, and that changes day by day, doesn't it? What need would we have for God? See, I need him to save me. We need him to save us. We need him for a lot more than that, don't we? Did God bring you to a dry place? Did God bring you to a place to where it doesn't seem like you have what you need? There's a reason. And folks, he's with you. And here's the interesting thing to me, and I say this a lot, but you can see it happen here. In a moment, God can do a miracle, and I wonder how much water came out of that rock. I'd kind of like to see those people scatter when the water began to flow. We just had a missions conference, and what was our theme? Open the windows of heaven, amen, and pour out a blessing that can't be contained. Amen. We do not doubt that God can do that. Amen? The existence of the blessing is not in question. The blessing is there. God is able. He can do that. So the absence of the blessing must have a purpose. What we should do, instead of questioning him and arguing with him, and in this case disobeying him, is just trust him. Amen. Hey, Pastor, it's hard. I've said that. How hard is it to understand this book? I'm not talking about every single word, but the promises in it. Amen. Easy? Amen?
Amen?
And how hard is it to believe the promises of God? That's it up for debate, but I'll say this. If you want to, you can.
Amen?
Amen? I chose a long time ago to believe God. I talk to people all the time that try and convince me not to believe God. They're wasting their time.
Amen.
I've talked to people all the time, and, you know, we won't even worry about how, but because my son will get mad at me for being on Facebook, which he does often, but but you know, when you start talking to folks and they don't believe in God, you just shake your head. How can they not see? It's so obvious. And folks, thank God for the vision he gave you. Amen?
Amen.
Meribah, a place of chiding, a place of strife, a place of contention, a place of suffering, a place of sadness. Miriam died there. Questioning God's presence, Exodus 17. Questioning God's plan, Numbers 20. And then ignoring God's command. Now, what happened at Meribah? It had a lot to do with what the people were looking at. Now this is easy to understand, and we need to think about this, and I'm preaching to myself too. What do we have our eyes on? In other words, here you are in your situation. Here our church is in its situation. Here you are in this place in your life. What do we tend to look at? We tend to look at the circumstances, don't we? We tend to look at the resources, don't we? We tend to look at the conditions, if you will. Listen, Meribah is a miserable place. It's dry. It's hot. Wait a minute. That's Arizona, isn't it? No. It's not an exciting place to be. People complain about that. There's no fig trees here. There's no vines here. We wanted pomegranates. Where are the pomegranates? But there's no water either. And their eyes are on the situation. Shame on me and shame on you for not seeing past the situation and looking up to God. Amen? This is the same God that brought them across the Red Sea. This is the same God that destroyed Pharaoh's army. This is the same God that has done miracle after miracle after miracle, and he's still there. It's a time of sadness. Miriam dies in verse 1. There's no water in verse 2. As always, and you got to put yourself in Moses and Aaron's shoes. Every time things went wrong, the people said it's their fault. Well, let's put that in perspective. In other words, since they followed God, they're the problem. And we're following them. No, Aaron and Moses weren't the problem. God wasn't the problem. So here are the people in verse 3. They chode with Moses, and they spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Now, I won't go through that story again, but it's a couple of chapters back when the rebellion came and God judged a bunch of them. They go on in verse 4, why have you brought up to the congregation into this wilderness where we should die? For the 100th time, God didn't bring us here to die. Amen?
Amen?
God didn't bring us here just so that we could be miserable, just so we could do without. God's got a plan. And in the end, it's a good plan, but it's got some rough spots along the way. And that's the places in life that you go. It would be a great preaching or Sunday school series, those places in life. You know, there's that place of prosperity. We like that one. We like that one when something good happens and some money flows in, a need gets met. Those are exciting places. But there are dry places too. There are desolate places in life, are there not?
Amen.
The Lord's in all of them. The Lord brings us to all of them. Here they are again, saying the same old thing. It's like a broken record. You brought us here to die. I read the end of the story, and no, that's not what happened. He says, you made us come up out of Egypt. That's kind of funny. it seems to me like they followed Moses out of Egypt because they were in slavery. But anyway, you made us come up out of Egypt in verse 5 to bring us to this evil place. It's no place of seed, and I've read that already. And Moses and Aaron, in verse 6, went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of congregation and fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So far, so good. They had a good idea, and that is when the people become discouraging, go talk to the Lord. When difficult situation comes along, go talk to the Lord. They knew where to go. They're going to make a mistake, and I'm sorry. I feel sad for this. They paid the price for this mistake in a way. They suffered because of it, and it's a lesson that we can learn. But they've started out good. They've gone before the Lord, and the Lord told them in verse 8 what to do. And when you read this, at first glance, it just seems kind of subtle maybe. He says, here's what you do. Take the rod, gather the assembly, speak to the rock, and you're going to get water. That's what God said to do. Now watch this. This is interesting. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to Israel. Israel at that time was in Roman captivity. The situation was not what it should have been. It was horrible. And they're slaves to the government of Rome. And lots of bad things happening there. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and they could have accepted him. I don't want to get too complicated. God had a plan that was even better than that, but let's just leave it at face value for now. They could have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would have become their king and healed their land. Instead, they smote him. He's still a deliverer, but because of them smiting him, we got saved also. In fact, if he hadn't been crucified, nobody would have been saved. So it is God's plan, I understand that. But still, Israel is at fault for rejecting their Messiah. What you see here in Numbers chapter 20 is a picture of how Israel dealt with Christ, how they should have dealt with him. They should have come to him and received him. It says he came unto his own received him not, verse John chapter 1. They should have received him, but they didn't. They rejected him and they crucified him. They smote him. And guess what? The water flowed anyway. In fact, it flowed abundantly, didn't it? In fact, the water flowed enough that it saved you and I as well. That's one of the pictures that we see here. They saw the problem. They didn't look to the Lord. The Lord in this saw the opportunity to be glorified. And that's what he did. That rock is a picture of Christ. And because of what Israel did, and it's just simple language here, because of what Israel did, the entire sins of the world were paid for. Amen? That you and I are the benefactors of what we would think of as Israel's disobedience. But God had a plan. And I don't understand all that. I just know that they should have done what was right, but they didn't. And God knew it. And because of that, praise God, we got saved. At the end of the day, did Israel get water?
Yes.
If they had spoken to the rock, would they have gotten water?
Yes.
Yes. But they smote the rock instead, and the water flowed, and God was glorified. Now, one more thing real quickly. We'll look at these last few verses, and we'll be done. So, in verse 11, Moses smites the rock, and you kind of see the motivation there in verse 10. He says, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And you don't have to read very hard to tell. He's angry. And he has had enough of them. They have been accusing him, and wrongly so. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them across the Red Sea. They have been delivered and fed time and time and time again. There's manna that comes from heaven to feed them, and they're not dying of thirst. They may be thirsty, but they're not dying of thirst. There's not a trail of dead bodies where they didn't have enough water. God's been taking care of them. Moses has been leading them, and here we go again. Moses, it's your fault. And he says, "You know, I'm fed up. I just want to tell you something. Don't get fed up." Amen. Amen. Someone says, "You know, I've witnessed to people and they won't listen to me. I'm done. I'm fed up." Don't do that. Keep trying. Tuesday night, we go out, and I know, I've seen it. I've been there. I've knocked a lot of doors in this valley. We go out, and we knock on doors, and time and time and time again, someone says, "I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I'm not interested." And some people get angry, and then occasionally you have the experience that Greg and I had over here in an apartment complex where the fellow's going to call the police. Okay, whatever. I've been there before. We can handle that. And you say, "Well, they just don't want to hear it." What'd God tell us to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Think about Noah. 100 years building the ark, nobody listened. Think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, "How long should I preach?" And God said, "Until I judge Israel," but no one's going to listen to you. There are times when you have that ministry of speaking to people that won't hear. But if God told you to speak, we got to speak. Amen? We may not like it. We may not want to do it again. But folks, we just got to keep on going. And here's a promise. And I can remember preaching this when I just went into the ministry. And back then it was just theory, but it was truth. And the Bible promises us, "In due season we will reap if we faint not." That verse is still in the Bible. Amen? Sometimes we faint. Don't get fed up. Don't faint. Don't quit. Moses says, "You know, you rebels, I've had enough of you. I got to get water out of this rock for you." And he's angry. He's frustrated. And he lifts up his hand in verse 11 and smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And there for a moment, I guess everything looked okay, but let's look at the last two verses and we'll be done. Verse 12, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron." And he says, "Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel." Now, I can only speculate because the Bible is not terribly precise here, but what was it that they didn't believe? Maybe they didn't believe you can just talk to a rock and get water. Folks, if God says you can talk to a rock and get water, that's what's going to happen. Maybe they didn't believe that they could be calm and sedate about this. He didn't say cry out at the rock, or he just said talk to the rock. Maybe they didn't believe that was enough. Just keep on obeying God. Amen?
Amen?
Say, "Pastor, I've been doing that for a long time and I'm thirsty. There's not enough water." Just keep on obeying God. And be thankful for what you got. Listen, we live in the last days. And you may think, "Well, you know, why aren't more people getting saved? Why aren't there more churches? Why aren't there more missionaries being supported and so on?" Folks, the Lord could come back any day. And the Bible says these are perilous times, and that evil doers will wax worse and worse. And we must face it. This may be, I could hesitate and say, this probably is, perhaps, the generation when Christ is going to return. When he does, will you be found faithful? "Hey, Pastor, I've been faithful for a long time and I haven't seen any results." Well, keep on being faithful. You say, I can't see, I can't see, I can't see. I know, we walk by faith, not by sight. And Moses, for whatever reason, there is a lack of faith here, and God sees it. He says, you believe me not. He says, therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. That's sad. All that Moses has done, all that Aaron has done, and by the way, Aaron's about to die here pretty quick in this passage, in this chapter. After all he's done, he's not going to get to walk into that land with them. And that's sad, but that's okay in a sense. Trust me, when you get to eternity and you meet Moses, can't you wait to talk to some of the heroes of the faith? Amen. Which one do you want to talk to first? Amen? Daniel, what was it like to be in that den with those lions all night long? Or Joseph, what was it like to be the second in command in Egypt? Or all those stories, the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, or David killing Goliath. And we're going to meet all those people.
Amen.
When you're sitting there on the streets of gold talking to Moses one of these days, he's going to tell you God's good. Everything God did was just fine. And Moses sees a greater promised land than what's on this earth. But he was kept back from that blessing because of his disobedience. I'm just going to say it. It's just as good for me as it is for you. We miss out on some of the blessings of God because we just choose not to obey him. We may choose not to obey him because we're angry with people like Moses was. We may choose not to obey him because we don't see how it can work. We may choose not to obey him because of temptation or some other reason. But folks, obedience is important. In this passage, tremendous lesson, picture of Christ. Christ the rock struck by Israel. But the severity of the punishment kind of reflects God's attitude. Do you remember what he did to the nation of Israel after they rejected Christ? Read the story in history about what happened in Jerusalem in 70 AD when Titus came in. He leveled the place. And they suffered horribly for rejecting their Messiah. So don't presume that it's ever okay to reject the Lord Jesus Christ or not to do what God said. And that's the whole picture here. And then he just names the place in verse 13. This is the water of Meribah because. Why is it called that? Why is it Meribah? Because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And folks, what happens there in the end when he says he's sanctified in them? God's going to get glory. Amen. The question is he going to get glory through us or in spite of us?
That's good, Pastor. Amen. Amen.
You say, Pastor, I'm in a place in my life and it's dry and I don't see it getting any better and it just seems like things keep getting worse and I don't understand what to do. Well, I like what he says here in verse 8. Speak to the rock. Amen?
Amen?
Talk to the Lord. This is Thanksgiving. You know, we used to do this in our house once in a while. We'd ask our children to, before they would eat, every time I think about this, I think about my son's dog. My son has this dog, it's a border collie. And if I've got something that dog really wants to eat and he's waiting for me to give it to him, he will literally drool as salivating and he's hungry and he's going to give it to me now. And he'll make a big mess on the floor. I'll go ahead and feed him so he won't leave a puddle on the floor, right? And he's hungry. And we'd come to the Thanksgiving table and the kids are all hungry. And I say, okay, Dad's going to do his thing before we eat. What do you have to be thankful for? But that's a good exercise, amen?
Amen.
Don't we have a lot to be thankful for? What did these people do? They could have said, Lord, thank you for bringing us out of Egypt. Thank you for delivering us from Pharaoh's army. Thank you for feeding us every day. Thank you for giving us all the water you've given us so far. Thank you for giving us leadership in Moses and Aaron. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Now, Lord, we're thirsty. Could you give us some water? Instead, they said, ah, this is terrible. We're out here to die. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We can do that sometimes. Don't make that mistake. That's why the place has the name that it has. hopefully there will not be a place in your life or mine named Meribah, where I strove with the Lord because I didn't like what he was doing, because I didn't like where he had me in my life, because I didn't like the leadership that he had given or the place he had brought me. Now, hopefully there's no place in our life named Meribah. Amen?
Yes.
And if there is one, don't make for two. When you come to that place in your life, instead of being angry with the Lord and striving with him and chiding with him and accusing him of bringing you out here to die, talk to the rock. Lord, I need some water. And just like I illustrated a while ago, you know, when the kid's caught in the tree, we'd hear him out there, "Help, let me out." And we'd go out there and get him out of the tree. God can take care of you. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.